This morning it is about love. And if we go to Matthew chapter 22, you'll see in the midst of this, I'll start reading verse 34 and read to verse 40. What has just happened is the Sadducees had asked Jesus, because everybody's always trying to catch Jesus, and I'm sure this is not the first time that Jesus was asked this question that he's going to be asked here. But the Sadducees had just asked Jesus about, well, the law, and if you go back and you read the Jewish law was that if a couple was married and the man died, and if he had brothers, then one of the brothers, the oldest brother then, or the next brother, was to take that wife to be his wife to have children for them. And their question was, well, there were seven brothers, and the oldest brother had her, and then he died, and then the next brother, and he died, until all seven brothers had her, and they'd all died. Who's she going to be married to in heaven? And Jesus says, y'all just don't understand anything at all. There's no giving or taking a marriage in heaven. Plus, God is the God of the living, not of the dead. So then another one steps up. Now, the Pharisees, they get together and they're like, okay, let's think of a question that we want to trick Jesus on. And they say, well, what's the greatest commandment? Now, if you're familiar, the Old Testament has 613 commandments in it. So they want to know which one is the one that we really have to follow. And so Jesus answers, and that's where we're at here then, starting in verse 34. But the Pharisees heard that he had selected, that he had silenced the Sadducees. They gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer or a scribe, asked him a question, testing him, saying, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let's pray. Almighty God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we come into your presence and we praise you, God, for who you are. And we thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for us. A love that sent your one and only Son to die on a cross for us. Not when we were good, but while we were yet sinners. And that salvation that is open to whosoever will look upon him and confess him as Lord and turn from their sins. We thank you for this great and wonderful gift that you gave to us. Lord, we thank you for this time that we get to spend together. We thank you for the fellowship that we have. We thank you for the faithfulness of each one here. And Lord, we pray for those who could not be here today for whatever reason. Bring them back into your house. Bless this time that we spend together in your word. Speak to our hearts and into our minds. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In the Old Testament, well, actually, if I didn't bring it today, but in the Jewish prayer book, there's a prayer called the Shema that's in the very beginning, and it's a morning prayer, and it is, hear, O Israel, thou wilt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength or might. You'll notice the last word's a little different than what Jesus speaks here, but that is something that Jews repeat every morning, is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and might or mind. And when you compare what Jesus says and when you compare then the Shema, that proclamation of faith, there to against the other 613, there's a very stark difference. If you go back and you start reading there in Exodus chapter 20, what is it? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not. The only time it kind of changes from that is honor thy father and thy mother. That's the only other one that's written differently. The rest of them are prohibitions. But this one here about love is proactive. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. In other words, what he's saying here, what Jesus says here is, love God with all that you have. And the thing is, and that this is the part that really took me some time when I went back and was looking at the Hebrew in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, which is where you find this in the Old Testament, when it says, and that it says it ends it with all your might or with all your strength. It's actually an adjective that says exceedingly or much. That's how, if it was written, you know, exceedingly great, whatever, like that, that's how it would be written. But why it says strength or might is because what he's saying is everything that is inside you. Because first, let me go back one thing. For the Jews, now think about this. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 2. If you go back to Genesis chapter 2, what does God do? There's a picture there of God, and he takes the earth, right? And what does he do with the earth? He forms out of the dirt, out of the clay, he forms man. Then what does he do? He breathes into man, and what happens? He becomes a living soul. He becomes a soul. So for the Hebrews, the whole idea of soul is it. You are a soul. You know, there is like your heart, and there's, but for them, you're a soul. You have the heart, which is, you know, kind of your emotions, your thoughts, but you're a soul. And so when he says at the end of this, you know, your heart, your soul, that's all that you are anyway. This might is with everything that's inside of you, it's just all wound up, and that's how you're supposed to love God. It's not, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, but it's love God with everything that is inside you. That's the command. Love God with all of you, not just the Sunday morning you, but the Monday, the Tuesday, the Wednesday, the Thursday, the Friday, the Saturday, every bit of you, with all, and this is one we have to think about, with all the talents that we have, with all the abilities that we have, and maybe sometimes with all the pains and the struggles and the trials that we have too. Because sometimes the way that God can use us the most is because we have come out of those trials. We've come out of those pains. We've come out of those hurts. And we know, like that song we sang earlier, that there is victory in Jesus. That we weren't crushed, that we weren't destroyed, but we were reshaped to do something that not everybody can do. And in the church, it takes all of us, because we're all different. We're all different. JD down here ran electricity back and forth through power lines for years. I have no clue how you even do that or what that's even all about. But there's other things about him, and there's people that he can talk to, he can reach, that he can minister to that I can't and you can't. But there's people that you can reach and I can reach, and that we can show the love of God to, because we're all different, because it takes all of us. It takes all of us. So the first commandment is that we take all of who we are, with all the experiences of who we are, and we use all that, I guarantee you there's nothing in your life that is wasted that God can't use. Every bit of your life, God can use. I've seen it in mine over the years. I thought that the years when I was working at Kroger were really kind of a waste. It was just kind of a holding pattern. But as time has gone on, I found out, no, that's not true. There's been other times I wonder, why did that? Because there was something that God had to teach me and I had to learn. And so what are you supposed to do in those times? Love the Lord. He says in the second one, though, and this is the first and great commandment, the second is like it. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I want to go to the last one first. When I say the last one, I want to go to the yourself. Because I think too often we forget how much God loves us. When I was a chaplain in the military, and then after that in the hospitals and stuff and doing marriage work and stuff, one of the questions I would often ask people is, who is the most important person? Whose opinion do you value more than anybody's? Who is it that loves you, or who is it that you want their approval more than anybody? It's a good question. Because we're going to always tend to do what we think this person or individual or whatever wants, to get some kind of praise or appreciation or something from them, so that, oh, okay, I guess I'm okay. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world. Who's the world? You. You, each and every one of you, me. For God so loved me. Is there anybody else that you know that died for you? Jesus Christ died on the cross because what? He loves you. He loves you. You're special. Sometimes we think we're special. Yeah, I'm really specially weird is what I am. Come on, let's be honest. There's something wrong with me. There's whatever. We do all this negative self-talk and things like that. But God loves you. Doesn't mean you can't be better. But let the voice of God whisper in your ear and tell you what needs to be changed. Not everybody else, because definitely don't get on social media and ask them what you need to do, because they will definitely destroy you. Serious. I mean, look at it. People are mean and vicious. But God loves you. In Romans chapter 8, I love Romans chapter 8. There's a whole lot of it I love, it, but especially starting in verse 31. I like 28 too. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And who can bring charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns us? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, who was also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Think about that. Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of God right now, and when we say a prayer, he's right there at the Father's right hand saying, "Hey, Lord, you know, they want this, they need this." He's right there. Why? Because he loves us. He loves us. He died for us. He loves us. And so he intervenes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know who can separate us? Us. Us. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Do you feel like a conqueror? We should. Because the Bible tells us right there, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who what? Loved us. Us. He loves you right now. No matter where you're at, what's going on, whatever like that, he loves you right now. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what you're going through in life, no matter the trials, and let me tell you, they can be severe. And when they're severe, you sit down and you cry to God. You tell him, I need help. And you know what? He'll help you. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. So we go back to that. Love your neighbor as yourself. Folks, you need to love yourself. Because God loves you. Jesus loves you. And guess what? That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Everybody else's opinion is their opinion. You need to realize that God truly loves you, cares for you, died for you, and is here now making intercession for you because he wants you to love him and to be what he's called you to be. I have to go back again to that Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for the things that he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And I can tell you, having walked through that plan for 67 years, there's times you may think that you are in the deep dark forest and that you're just totally lost. God knows where you're at, and God has the way out, and God has a place he wants you to go. Why? Because he loves you. So, we'll go back to then that second love. As soon as I get back here, my string falls out. I have to kind of put it in there. And then when I got one hand, that didn't help either. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you're walking around and you understand that you're God's child, you're not perfect, but you're loved, then we should be able to show others the love of Christ in all that we do. Some people are ugly. Some people are mean. Okay? Doesn't mean you have to take abuse from them or anything like that. They're just not quite ready yet. We just have to be willing that when God says, okay, now's the time, we're listening to Him and we're open to love those that often seem unlovable. And that can be hard. And we'll mess it up sometimes. But we're not any better than the disciples. They picked on each other, wanted to be this or that. But if we love the Lord with all of our being, and we let Him live in our lives, and we recognize that we are a child of the King, then we need to make sure that we always love our neighbor, even if it's that, and you pick out whatever it is that is most repulsive to you, and say, I can show that person the love of God. Because that's what the two commandments are. Love the Lord with all that you are. Make sure you realize where you are in your relationship with God. Because it's that relationship with God that allows you to love others. That's what makes us the hands and feet of God in this world. So where are you at today? Are you loving others like you're supposed to? Are you loving yourself the way that God loves you? Do you know Him?